I really feel at home. Some places they eat preachers for lunch. So, but I came out here, just really felt great. I came out here last year, it's even better, and what a great group of brethren. So thankful. From all over. It's awesome. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. And so we were talking about momentum. And so I want to talk about how to attain first the momentum, and then to sustain the momentum. But God says we're supposed to excel still more and more. In other words, to sustain is good, but to excel still more and more is what God wants us to do. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. That's right. You see? So first of all, we got to get to altitude and then sustain it, but then keep pushing the mark. Keep pushing the mark. Excel still more and more. So here's the question. What is the greatest motivational force that will move people to do the right thing? The greatest motivational force that will move people to do the right thing. Is it money? Is it all of those fancy little programs they have down at your bank? All right? No, it's not, is it? Okay. How about a big stick? Now, a big stick will motivate people, but when the stick goes away, the mice or the bank workers will play. Right? What's the greatest motivational force that will move people to do the right thing for the right reason? What is it? Galatians and chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I know you've heard me speak on this before, but this is a different angle. I'm not going to talk about my dad, I don't think, tonight. my physical father, anyway. I've spoken about love here before, but let's see if this might help us to understand how to keep the church moving forward, bringing new disciples in, raising them up, helping them to see the vision of a worldwide conquest, as was spoken by our brother Matt today, so that we can continue to do the work and invest ourselves in others. Galatians chapter 5, the very last few verses there, beginning in verse 14. May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and the Israel of God. So, question. Verse 16. And those who will walk by this rule, the new creation rule. Here's the question. Walk by this rule, what does that mean? What's the rule? What's the new creation rule? The word walk means live. The word rule means standard. What's the new creation standard by which we must walk? Could I ask you to look at Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. And take a look there if you would. Verse 5 and 6. Galatians 5, verse 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. And verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but what? Faith working through love. Faith working through love. How much power did it take to create the physical universe? We can't even begin to imagine the power that it took to create the physical universe. Amen? And we saw, how many saw pictures of the tsunami in Japan and that tidal wave coming in and the power, the amazing power of that one tidal wave? Now, I know you've seen the power of tornadoes. That's nothing compared to the power of the physical creation. Now, next question. Tell me, how much power does it take to bring into existence a new creation? This creation, this physical creation, is a throwaway, isn't it? It's a disposable. It's like a big pin. Disposable. The new creation is what? Eternal. How much greater power did it take to bring one of us into being as a new creation? The power was what? What was it? Absolutely beyond measure. What is the standard? The walk standard of a new creation? Faith working through love. So I got some more questions to ask as we get started this evening. How does the Scripture define faith? In a nutshell, it's conviction that brings about action. We heard something about Noah. That conviction that God said it was going to rain, and they'd never seen it before, that conviction drove him to build an ark. Now, did you catch that little part in there? By which he saved his family. Did you catch that part in that verse? You think love drove him? The love of God, a love of family? A love of truth drove him to do what was right? There's no law that could have drove him for how many years? I think I heard the preacher, 95 to 120. The law's not going to cause me to do that. It'll burn out. See? Law will be expedient, but it is not long-term. You can't sustain it. Law was never given to sustain the momentum. Would anybody agree with that? You can't sustain righteousness through law. In fact, law was created by God for the express purpose to drive us to the love of God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Amen? So law is not the power to get it done, but love is. And so we see that faith is the conviction that drives us to move. But notice, what does Galatians 5 and verse 6 say? The new creation rule is faith working through love. Now, how does the Scripture define love? Anybody know? Thyself. We know love by this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We know love by this. Can anybody help me out? This is a hard truth. We know love by this. He laid down His life for us, and we have a debt. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. What causes us to love? We love because He first loved us. Is there any scripture to go back that up? Probably go one more chapter in 1 John chapter 4. Brethren, we need to recognize that love is that force, that power that is going to cause us to do the right thing for the right reason. And it will sustain itself. Because if we use love as that power, the love of God as that power, that we will sustain the forward movement. How many have ever had a late night Bible study before? I want you to be honest if you've had a late night Bible study. How many have ever had a late night Bible study and this Bible study didn't seem to be going very well, and you know that you've been working with these people for a while, and you're going down the freeway or whatever, and you're going, you know what, my family's at home. I'm sacrificing my family, and these people aren't moving. Now you're saying, preacher, you can't say that. Well, I'm telling you that I thought that. Oh, you're a bad preacher. Well, be honest. Don't raise your hand. I'm honest. I've gotten in the car and driving down the road. I'm going, man, my family's at home. I'm missing my family. And I'm going to a Bible study. And they don't seem to be moving. What do you think God thought over and over and over again for the nation of Israel. How about the New Jerusalem? When are they going to get it? Has He stopped loving us? Will His love ever stop? We're the ones that back out on Him. He doesn't back out on us. So I keep driving. And I'll keep going to those studies until they say, we don't want you here anymore. Then I'll say, I'm available. But I will honor your wishes. Brother, we need to recognize and understand that love is what gets us out of bed in the morning. Love is what's going to motivate us to get in our cars, to do our Bible studies, to continue to work with young people in the Christian school. Pulling what little hair out I have left. I love you. I'll be here tomorrow. I have 3 hairs left. 3 more days. Okay. So, anyway, I don't want to get off the subject. Love is the only power or force that's going to move us and sustain us and cause us to excel still more and more. So first of all, I want to take a look at attaining the fervency of love. Turn with me to 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And take a look at verse 22 and 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Since you have an obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God. In order for momentum to even have an opportunity to be able to be sustained, you first got to break through the flesh. You have to break through that physical gravity of the flesh. What holds us down and keeps us from becoming what we are created in God's image to become? The flesh. What has to be taken out of the way first? The flesh. How many of you ever saw when you were younger? Some of you weren't even alive. Maybe seen pictures of it. Reruns. The Apollo 11 taking off to go to the moon. How many of you ever seen that? Power there? Why did there have to be so much power to get 3 men to orbit the moon and 2 guys to get there? I mean, we're talking like power unheard of. Why? They had to do what? They had to break the Earth's pull, force down to break through that, didn't they? Huge amounts of power. We got to break through the flesh. The flesh has to be done away with. When is the flesh done away with? When is the flesh crucified? What did Paul say? I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. When was Paul crucified to the world, and the world crucified to him? Does anybody know when a person is crucified with Christ? When do you become a new creation? There's no possible way that you can sustain the momentum, the spiritual momentum, if you don't first become a Christian. Now, I'm going to say something, and you might throw tomatoes. There were no tomatoes tonight for dinner, were there? Okay. Potatoes. Okay. Is it possible to get baptized and not become a Christian? How many agree that you could get baptized and not become a Christian? It's possible. I would suggest that maybe some people get baptized for a whole host of reasons other than the reasons that they ought to be immersed. And because they're in the Church of Christ, well, we know that when you're baptized, you're saved. Right? Okay, why are you doing this? You mean that to be baptized doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved? Why? It's got to be an act of faith. Faith working through love. There has to be faith there. Could it be that a person is baptized because there's an expectation that you'll be baptized? Is that possible in the Church of Christ? That you can get baptized because there's an expectation
Oh, I'm 17, I'm 18, I'm 19. Oh,
I just got to get the preacher off my back to get baptized and get it over with. Is that possible? You know, someone who consistently demonstrates the flesh and is making no headway, it might be that they've never broken through. They've never been born again. They're not a new creation. Now you're saying, you can't judge. You're right. But will flesh manifest itself in how people live? Yes or no? Will the Spirit manifest Himself in your life in the way that you live? Yes or no? Absolutely, positively. And listen, moving to the next point, if you don't have the Spirit, you will not be able to sustain the fruits of righteousness. You won't be able to sustain it. It's only by the power of the Spirit working through faith, as demonstrated in our love, that we can sustain and excel. I'd have you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, awesome passage in regards to sustaining our fervency of love. In the end of all things is at hand. It's interesting that Peter would say that. It's been a while. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober of spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Keep fervent. What does the word keep fervent mean? Keep the standard. Don't back off. Keep pressing the mark. Fervent in your love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's our priority in verse 8 there? Above all, what should we do? Above all, what should we do? What does it say there?
Keep fervent.
Keep fervent. What's priority one? Fervent love. What does Colossians 3 say? Go back to Colossians 3. It's really awesome when you take a look at Colossians 3 in light of the other passages that we find in the Scriptures regarding love. In the book of Colossians in chapter 3, it says there, speaking of the, I believe, the fruit of the Spirit, clothe yourselves in verse 12, clothe yourselves with all of these amazing character qualities of the Spirit. And then look at verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I would invite you to go do your own study on that little verse. It doesn't mean at the end, put on love. It means love needs to be the overriding driver for all of those character qualities. If you take a look there, love is patient, right? Are we just clothe ourselves with patience according to this passage of Scripture? Love is kind, right? Are we to clothe ourselves with kindness? What's the overriding driver for those fruits of righteousness? The motivator is what? Love. The definition of love is sacrificing oneself for the needs of other people. Is that true? Is love sacrificing yourself for the needs of other people? We know love by this. Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself for your need, right? And my need. Anybody get into heaven without Him? And He did it because He loved you. Did Jesus have to?
Yep, He sure did. The law required a sacrifice, and so He had to. So that's why He came.
He did it because He wanted to. He did it because He knew you needed it. He made the sacrifice, and the interesting thing is that He did that as a man, not knowing who would come and who wouldn't. But He knew that no one would make it if He didn't make that sacrifice. You know, when I go down the road to a Bible study, do I know if they're going to become a Christian or not? Do you know? Absolutely not. You don't. I was studying with an older couple just recently. And the gentleman has congestive heart failure. He's got all sorts of junk going on, emphysema. And we thought for sure he was going to be the first one to go. So he was very intent on the study. His wife was like, you know, whatever. She finds out that she has cancer and lymphoma, and all of a sudden she goes, I'm now very serious about this study. Can we review a little bit? I immersed her into Christ a week ago Tuesday. Guess what? When I was going down there, I was thinking, this guy's tracking, and she's kind of like, what if I would have given up on the study? Sharon would pass from this life in the near future into an eternity without Christ. What if I would have said, I'm tired of going down there. It's a 45-minute drive one way. I get home at 11:30. Get up at 4 to go to school to pull my hair out. Right? Love drives. Love drives. Love's the force. Law will not sustain. Love will. Our priority as a new creation is our fervent love for one another. Love sacrifices self. Fervent love is manifest in our attitudes and our service to other people. I'm going to tell on one of the saints back home. There are people behind the scenes. You have people behind the scenes that nobody ever hardly sees, and yet without them, things would not go. You got people like that? There's a woman back home you never, ever see. But if she weren't doing what she does, a lot of stuff would not happen. She gets mad at me when I call her out publicly and say thank you. So if she sees this tape, she'll really get mad. Some of you know her, Melissa Parks. Paul had his Phoebe, didn't he? He said, I really couldn't do it without her. What a great servant. Servant to the church, servant to Paul. She's my Phoebe. Absolutely amazing. You know why she does it? Because she loves. We need to sustain the fervency of love, and if we sustain the fervency of love, we will keep the momentum moving forward in the church. Look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. Jude verse 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to an eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Who is responsible for continuing to strive after the love of God by having the faith of Christ? Who's responsible? Him. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, it's Mike's fault. If you're at Wauseon, it's Mike's fault. If you're at Connersville, it's, where are you? Okay? It's your fault. And up in Michigan, it's your fault. Right? And unfortunately, our society does that. I'm not growing because we have a whippy preacher. Oh, brother. No, that says you yourself are responsible for maintaining, sustaining your love for the brethren. And I'm going to tell you, it is easy yet oh so difficult. Let me ask you a question regarding love. How many have ever gotten a note in the mail from somebody in the body of Christ saying, I so appreciate what you're doing? How many have ever gotten a card like that? Does that motivate you? How many of you, that really motivates you? Right? How many have ever received a gift? Somebody has gone somewhere and they say, hey, you know what, I was thinking about you. I just so appreciate what you're doing. They give you a little gift. How many have ever gotten something like that? Does that motivate you? How many have ever really tried hard at something and somebody said, you really need to figure it out? How many of you have had somebody do that to you? How does that work? It does not work. Okay? So who made you Pope? Right? And I was trying. My heart was right. I was motivated because I wanted to help. Pile driving on the ground. You didn't do it the way it ought to be done. Man, I just appreciate people making the effort. Amen? Is that little note a love letter? Is that little... I like those Hershey hugs. How many like those Hershey hugs? It's really cool. One of the kids in our school gave me a little Hershey hug on a little note. For all you do, and I don't know where they got this slogan, but I got a feeling, for all you do, this hug's for you. That's a lot nicer than how it was originally used. How many know where it originally was used? Okay. For all you do, this hug's for you. No. I grew a couple hairs back on that one. Yes. Sweet. Now that, those little things are expressions of love. How long does it take to write a note? But can it change your world? Yes or no? Absolutely. A little Hershey kiss? They're not very expensive. Maybe they are. Priceless. It's an expression of love. You know why it's hard? Are you ready for this? You know why it's hard to sustain that? Because we oftentimes turn our focus from others to who? Why is that kind of love that seems so simple, seems so easy, so hard? Why? Because we turn our focus from others to who? I'm only hearing one person. How many would agree with that? It's easy to write a note. It's really easy to catch people doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing. It's easy to catch them doing that. But the hard thing is to, write a note, because the focus is not on you, but on them. Would you write this down, please? This is so important. Love listens. Love listens with the eyeball. Write that down. Love listens with the eyeball. What does that mean? Anybody know? Guy needs to take a class in anatomy. Love listens with the eyeball. You ever gone in a restaurant before and the waitress is having a bad day? But she doesn't come up and say, "You know, I'm really having a crummy day and you're making it worse." They don't do that. But how many have ever gone in and you can tell they're having a bad day? Right? How do you know? Because love what? Listens with what? Eyeballs. They're saying, "Well, that's just the waitress and that's no big deal." Well, it might be. Her soul is eternal. Amen? Now, but we should practice it with those around us. We should be aware. Love listens with the eyes. How many have seen people that you know there's something going on, they're not like they normally are, but you go, "You know what? I'm not going to ask them what's going on because I got a feeling I might have to step into something that's going to take a little longer than a few seconds." Don't raise your hand on that one. You know why? Because it's true. Don't want to engage that one. It means I'll have to sacrifice something. Sacrifice what? Time. Energy. Life. Right? See, love that sustains is easy and yet hard, because we have to take our eyes off of self and sacrifice self for the need of the other person. If husbands would listen to their wives, I think I need to go now. I'm getting a few looks here. And I'm glad there's a door right there. Open slowly, unless they're running you out. There is very few better ways to communicate love for your wife than to put down your drill, put down your book, turn off the television or whatever else that you're doing. Stop what you're doing, grab your face, turn to your wife, and turn on the brain. And very important, listen and dialogue back so they know that you really are processing. I have to be honest. Some of you are saying, that's impossible. I'll tell you, one of the best things that happened in my marriage, one of the best things that happened was I was told that if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my marriage. And I really do believe it's true. I'm so preoccupied by conquering the world for Jesus Christ, I forgot to listen to my wife. And it had become a habit. I might have already shared this with you before, but it's shameful, but it was true. When I'd come home from work, my wife would ask me, how's your day? Oh, it was an LT day. And that was the extent of our conversation. How many think I had a really bad marriage? It's okay, you can raise your hand. It's true. You know what an LT day stands for? I was so disengaged, I couldn't even tell her it was a long and tiring day. Pretty sick, huh? That's okay. I don't do that anymore. When I get home, spend time with the kids, do what we need to do, kiss, hug my wife, and then the best time of the day, the kids are in bed, and Sharon and I can sit and talk, eyeball to eyeball, talk about our days, talk about what we have going on for tomorrow and the week. You know what's happened to my relationship with my wife? What do you think? How many think every area of my marital relationship is better? I listened not just with my eyeballs, I listened with my ears. And I process it with my brain, and I have been responsive. Have I perfected it? I'm still working on it. How many know that selective hearing is a genetic trait passed on from father to son? I hate that gene. Man, I hate that gene. Okay. I'm glad I got the guys laughing now. What? What'd you say? It's terrible. You need to stop what you're doing, gentlemen. I mean, honestly, you got to stop everything that you're doing, and you need to give your full, undivided attention to your sweetheart and just listen and dialogue and process and talk about your day, talk about plans for tomorrow. So important. That's love. Ladies, you need to respect your husband no matter what. But my husband's not worthy of my respect. I've had ladies tell me that. Because he doesn't listen to me. Well, can I share something with you? It's so important for you to respect your husband. The scripture says that you ought to, but it will cause your relationship to blossom if you will. Start looking for things that you can appreciate your husband about. And begin to share that with him. The last thing you want to do, ladies, the last thing you want to do is criticize him in public. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to build him up in public. It's so important for us that the little things are huge, and we need to sustain the momentum. I shared it earlier, this rally. If families aren't functioning well, how's the church doing? If families aren't functioning well, how's the church doing? You have all the answers. Okay, good. If the husband and wife relationship isn't working well, how's the family doing? So, husband and wife relationship, primary, in regards to sustaining the forward movement of the church. How many of you have heard, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about the wife and the kids. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Might I suggest that your wife and your children are a part of the kingdom of God? And God has granted them to you that you would be their disciple maker, that you would build them up, and together a family that's solid is one of the most awesome evangelistic tools the church has. Would anybody agree with that? The solid family is one of the most awesome evangelistic tools the church has. When people see a solid marriage, a solid family, and kids growing strong in the Lord, it's like, wow, we've never seen that before. Which is sad. But it's an absolutely amazingly powerful evangelistic tool. Remember, we need to sustain and excel still more and more. Love needs to begin at home. And it moves outward from there. We need to abound still more and more. 2 Thessalonians, if you turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians in chapter 1. And take a look, if you would, in verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. See the relationship between faith and love? The new creation standard is what? Faith working through love. And we know love by this, that He laid down His life. And so husbands, lay down your life for your wives as Christ laid down His life for you. Wives, love your husbands as you love Christ. Kids, follow your parents as they call you to loving and faithful obedience so that it may be well with you when you're older. Now, brethren, there's another one that we need to take a look at and spend a little bit of time, and that's Philippians in chapter 1. If you pray each day for the saints, and I would encourage you to do that if you're not doing that already, this is a great prayer to pray. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Paul says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Why? So that you may approve the things that are excellent. Why? In order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So what's the result? Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I pray that your love may abound still more and more in two things: real knowledge and all discernment. Real knowledge. What's real love? The world communicates what love is. What does the Scripture teach love is? What's real love? What does it look like? I asked the gentleman this yesterday. I'll ask the whole group. How much self-time did Jesus take when He walked on this earth in the flesh? How much self-time? Does anybody know? How much self-time? Just His sleep? I would say even zero. Why would I say zero? His body shut down after a while. How do we know that? Remember, He was in the boat? Okay? He was exhausted. Body shut down. How much self-time? Okay, so you're a Christian, right? A new creation, right? Made in the image of who? Made in the image of who? They're not committal tonight. That's all right. Made in the image of who? Christ. Zero self-time. He lived His life for who? Everybody else. He was focused on everybody else's pain, wasn't He? Remember hiking up to Golgotha? The ladies are crying. Yeah, it really is painful. What does He say? Don't weep for me. He was focused on their pain. Weep for yourself for what's coming. He gets up to the top of the hill. They nail Him to the cross. They put him in the hole. He's hanging there. What's he do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who is he focused on? He's focusing on all those men who are going to suffer eternal damnation. Father, forgive them. What did he do with the thief on the cross? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Where's his focus, brethren? Was it a painful experience? Unlike any of us have ever experienced. His focus was always on other people's needs. What did he say to his mom? What did he say to John? Focused on their needs. Sacrifice all the way through. Zero time for Jesus. All of it was given for us. Is that possible? Is it possible to live that way? We've been told it's possible. Do you really believe that? Can you be perfect as He is perfect? Can you be pure as He is pure? Can you be holy as He is holy? Can you live for others in every moment and in every thought? Yes. Can you write that note? Can you have that word of encouragement? Can you send that special gift? Can you come and wash somebody's dishes or mow their lawn? If somebody's sick, do you call them and say, hey, is there something I can do? Especially if the wife is sick, is it possible that you could bring a meal over to this husband that's starving? Because we know the husband's not going to make dinner. I tried that once, by the way. I did that. My wife had to go to the hospital really quickly because my mother-in-law was not doing well. And I made dinner for my sons. That's the last dinner I ever had to make. My sons decided they're going to learn how to cook. It's a beautiful thing. I was trying to lay my life down in service to my sons, and they realized, Dad, there's other sacrifices that you're well-equipped for, and that's not one of them. And so, praise God, all three of my sons are excellent cooks. They really are. Alfredo fettuccine. My 13-year-old knows how to make Alfredo fettuccine because of that one dinner. You know what's beautiful? Is that you lay your life down. It's always about others. I want to use one more illustration of this. Love is discerning. Love is excelling still more and more. There's a young man at Pleasant Hill. I've told him over and over and over again privately how much I appreciate him. He's a young man that I don't think gets a lot of respect because of past choices and past, the way he was. But you know what? This young man has put his shoulder to the plow. He's harnessed up to Jesus. This guy is amazing. Some of you know that the church building that I serve in is over 100 years old. And we heat with wood. We have this big, gigantic furnace. We heat with wood. And so in the wintertime, when it's 15 below zero, guess what it is in the building? That's exactly right. He gets up before we get there for school. He builds the fire. And when we get there, it's roasty, toasty, warm. Guess who makes sure the wood room is filled with wood? This young man. Guess who makes sure the wood is split? Who's taking that? That's his thing. You never see him, but he's ever present. He gets there when it's 15 below, and he's doing that. He's freezing. But he does that. Why? Because he has to? I never said, Curtis, you need to get there in the morning a half an hour early and build a fire because that's your ministry and you need to do it. If you don't do it, we're all going to get cold. And that'd be terrible. You causing everybody to be cold. That's a little guilt trip. Nope. Every morning he's there. By the way, he saw that moms and dads needed a break from the little kids. And he's a big kid himself. It's pretty cool. He goes, I have a great idea. Let's have a kid's night out. A.K.A. date with my wife. Curtis, you're the man. So he asks one of the other ladies in the church about his age, work together with him so there's no, you know, concern or anything. And from 6 to 11 o'clock, he takes the kids to a gym, locks the doors, and they have a great old time. If parents want to stay, that's fine, no problem. Kids love it. They can't wait till kids' night out, and I can't either. The guy is a hero in my book. You know, what's done is done. This young man is rock solid. Every day he sacrifices for the brethren. He's excelling still more and more. You see, we need to recognize that it's not the person necessarily that's going out and getting every Bible study that's communicating the love of God, although that's a way to do it. We need to recognize, as was shared earlier today, that everyone can communicate the love of God, which is going to sustain the forward movement of the church. Brethren, I share with you that this is a beautiful theme. But there's only one force that's going to move you forward with the momentum that Christ needs to take the world. One force. What is that? It's the love of God manifest in your sacrifices for other people. It's the only thing that's going to get it done. It's not good. Love's going to get you out of bed in the morning. Love's going to get you down the road. And love's going to keep you moving forward. Law can't do that. Money can't do that. Any other motivational tool won't do it. There's only one. It's the love of God. My prayer is that we would grow in real knowledge about what God's love is and then daily apply it with those whom God has given us. Let's pray. Dear Lord God in heaven, I pray that you'll help us to recognize from the book of Galatians in chapter 5 that the standard of the new creation life standard, is faith working through love. If a man or a woman is faithful, it will be communicated in their self-sacrifice for other people. And I pray, Father, that husbands would sacrifice for wives and wives for husbands, that children would be obedient to their parents, that we each of us would humble ourselves in service to one another. Lord God, it's then that people will desire to be a part of the church when they see the true love of God manifest. Because people will go out and communicate to them that sacrificial love, the value of their soul. Help us to realize this, Father, so that we not only will attain and sustain the momentum, but we'll excel still more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.